Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info.
Welcome to Tech Webcast. This is episode number 119.
Hello, welcome, Steve. Hello, Dylan.
Oh, I'm doing great.
Hello. Special guest is Steve from the Justin TV channel Chatterbox. Jason's not here today. Also, I'm going to give you a quick brief rundown on the iPad 2, which I was in line yesterday for. And also, we have some tech news. So let's get that out of the way. Let's play the tech news first, and we'll come back and talk to Steve and Dylan.
And, yay, pre-recorded tech news.
That's always fun, and here it is right now for you people to enjoy.
And now for the Tech Webcast news. Apple, which is already engaged in a heated battle with Microsoft for the protection of its App Store trademark, has filed suit against Amazon for its improper use of the same. Amazon's Android App Store seems to have been initially contracted to a single word to differentiate its name, but the difference isn't enough for Apple, which has asked the Californian court to grant a ruling preventing Amazon's use of the moniker and asking for unspecified damages. Apple claims it reached out to Amazon on three separate occasions, asking it to rename its software downloading offering, but when faced with a lack of a substantive response, it decided to take things to court. Its big task remains unchanged, proving that the term App Store is something more than a generic descriptor, and this is somewhat inevitable move given Amazon's choice of name. The legal maneuvering, as always, continues. Social networking giant Facebook is banning 20,000 children every day because they have lied about their age to join the site. The company admitted it had to do more to stop young people using Facebook, as it revealed about a third of Australia's population uses the site every day. At a parliamentary inquiry into cyberbullying, another social network and online companies called for campaigns to highlight the dangers of the internet. And there have been calls for an overhaul of the Australian school curriculum to include more effective cyber danger classes. The chief privacy advisor of Facebook, Moselle Thompson, said many Australian children under the age of 13 were trying to access the site by lying about their age. "It's something that happens on a regular basis," Mr. Thompson said. Globally, about 7 million children who lie about their age are blocked from the site each year. Mr. Thompson said the company would hire someone to work on Australian policy issues within weeks. He said Facebook was looking at how to control its content. Other online companies conceded the internet was causing problems and that more action was needed from the community, corporations and government. 9MSN Corporate Affairs Director Jennifer Duxbury said it was time to overhaul what was taught in schools. "We would like to see, also, effective cyber safety education embedded in the curricula of every school," Ms. Duxbury said. Facebook and three of Australia's largest web companies have criticised Labor's planned mandatory internet filter, saying it's not the answer to protecting Australians from the web's worst excesses. The comments by security experts who are employed by Yahoo, 9MSN, Microsoft and social networking pioneer Facebook were delivered during a hearing of the Joint Select Committee on Cyber Safety, formed to inquire into how best to protect Australian children online. "I would hate for the public to get the wrong impression that there's quick technological solution for inappropriate content, because there isn't," Facebook's chief privacy advisor Moselle Thompson told the committee. The views are in stark contrast with those of Communications Minister Stephen Conroy, who has championed a mandatory filter since it was announced in 2007. "Online identity fraud and distribution of child abuse images has grown sharply in recent years," Mr. Thompson said. "Facebook banned as many as 20,000 user accounts a day. Some are blocked due to inappropriate content. Labor's proposed filter will prevent blacklisted websites from being allowed past Australian internet service providers. That would mean Australians would be unable to access those sites. Opponents of the filter, which include Google and the US government, argue it would not only be unable to stop inappropriate material from slipping through, it sets a dangerous precedent for web censorship." Apple is paying close attention to all iPad 2 returns during the first few weeks to make sure there are no major production defects. This policy has led to an amusing story that we thought was entertaining enough to share. The story comes by way of an individual close to Apple. Apple's focus this week has been troubleshoot all the iPad 2s customers returning to stores. One iPad came back with a post-it note on it that said, "Wife said no." It was escalated to something funny, and two of the VPs got wind of it. They sent the guy an iPad 2 with a note on it that said, "Apple says yes." We're guessing the free iPad satisfied any objection the customer's wife might have had. And that's the news for today.
Yes, indeed. That is the news for today. The great news by Jason. Guys, you got a view on any of them stories?
Jason, if you're listening to this episode, please come back.
Why? Too long?
Oh, we've had the discussion about the recorded news. Jason, just please come back.
Well, yeah, that's the best way to do it, because if you can't be here, it's the best way to do it.
It works.
It does work, and it's a great idea. Do you guys have any views on them stories? Any opinions?
Oh, I admit I missed some of it because I was trying to find the audio adjustment in there, because it really Skype wonks out my audio, so I've been trying to adjust it.
All right, okay. Well, let's
still trying to find the setting in Mac for Skype.
I don't think it exists.
Oh, well.
I don't know.
Anyway, what do you guys think of the iPad 2? I got one yesterday. Let's get your views on the iPad 2, Steve. You've seen them, and you actually haven't played one, but you've actually seen them. What's your view on it first, mate?
Well, what I've did is I took a look at some of the reviews on the iPad 2, and I think most people agree that the cameras aren't the greatest.
No,
but you know, it just gives you basic functionality.
Yeah. Exactly.
Perhaps compared to, you know, the iPhone 4 and whatever else. So.
Exactly. You know, the main reason why I got the iPad 2 is because it's faster. You can play more games faster. You know, it's slimmer, better design. And, you know, I won't be using the camera all that much, you know.
Maybe it's just me, but I thought that, at least on first impression, when I first saw a video, I thought the HD video from the rear-facing camera looked better than HD video of that from an iPhone 4 that I
saw. Oh, no, no way. Hell no. The iPhone 4 looks 10 times better.
Really?
Yeah, 10 times better, mate. No way. The iPhone 4 kicks ass.
I didn't pay attention to any of the specs or anything, because I'm not buying an iPad yet, so I didn't bother to look into the specs, but I thought it looked good enough.
Oh, yeah, it does. It will do the job, but, you know, you wouldn't use that for a camera every day. No way.
How many megapixels is it in the front and the back? I think the front or the backward facing, and it like 1.3, and then I'm not sure what the forward one is.
This is for the iPhone 4 or the iPad?
Oh, I'm sorry, the iPad.
Oh, I'm not sure about the iPad. I know the iPhone 4 has got a 5 megapixel camera.
Megapixels don't mean anything. You can get, you know, you've got phones like the new Android one, the Thunderbolt, has an 8.0 megapixel camera on it, but when you take pictures side by side with an iPhone 4, the 8.0 megapixel camera looks a lot worse than the 5.0 megapixel camera on the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not the only thing you have to take in account.
All right, well, let's talk about Chatterbox. Steve, how long have you been around for, mate?
Doing this sort of thing? I don't know. You know, I don't really keep... I think I've been doing it for... Oh, geez. Should be a little bit over 2 years, maybe, something like that.
Okay. What made you get into this sort of streaming and that sort of stuff?
Oh, geez. I think it all started, you know, of course, is before streaming and all that, you know, because I've been on the internet forums, you know, where you debate on different topics. Of course, technology is one of the favorites. And so I did that for quite a while. I still do it, you know, not as much because I don't have that much time. And then you know, I've been doing that for a couple of years, and then I started going to some of these live streaming, you know, websites. I think it was first Blog TV is the one that I went to, and then, you know, I participated in those chat rooms, and then eventually I started just, you know, broadcasting live.
Okay.
And then, of course, I moved to Justin TV. That's where I've been ever since.
Okay. People have been asking me, why don't you have a website?
I know, that's a good question. You know, I'm usually slow, believe it or not, even though I like technology, I'm slow in adopting things. It took me forever just to get Twitter and, you know, Facebook and things like that. I probably will. It was Dylan Combs that mentioned that to me as well, you know, in case Justin TV just, you know, went up and went away. But at least now I'm, you know, on YouTube and Twitter and things like that. So if I had to, I could Twitter out, you know, my new location or something.
Okay.
Well, Justin TV has done things I don't like, and I remember talking to you once. I said you should have a website because it's never a good idea to have all your content in one place, and it's even worse if that one place is not owned by you and you can't get it out. So at any time, Justin TV could, you know, delete you if they wanted to, and there's nothing they could do about it. Not that they would, but your yeah. stuff would be gone. Your stream would be gone. And Justin TV has done things I don't like recently. That's why I've moved over to Ustream, particularly because of the pre-roll ads on JTV that I don't get any money for, where I do on Ustream. Mind you, it's not much, but at least they're offering a revenue share. Nice thing about having the website is everyone knows I stream it at live.combs.tv. No matter what streaming provider I'm on, I'll just switch out the embed code on that page, and they can always find me there.
Cool. Good stuff.
So that's, you know, at least have a live page, man. Come on.
Yeah, all agree. You need a blog, man, dude, and a website or something. You need some sort of content on the blog, on a, you know, a website or something.
Well, I think it originally just started, you know, because I was starting out, and, you know, it's not like I got viewers overnight. So
No, exactly.
This is just more of a hobby. Well, I think it is for some of us, you know, I'm not here to make money, really, but eventually be nice. But
just,
you know,
do it for fun. Now, you've got a pretty good sweet setup there, Steve. Explain to people what you have in the background there, mate.
Let me see. Well, I made a couple changes since then, and maybe I can even try to switch some cameras so you can see some of it.
But this is audio, so people in the audio, listen to the audio version.
I'll describe that as well.
If you can.
Originally, I did, believe it or not, I've been using Linux for a long time. And I did try streaming with Linux, which did work, using Webcam Studio, I think that's what it was. It was okay. But then I know to be doing it seriously, I had to switch to another software, and I started using, you know, Mac, so I got the Mac Mini, which worked quite well because, you know, you have Cam Twist and then Wirecast and things like that. And then I liked the Mac Mini so much, I ended up getting the Mac Pro. But I was still broadcasting on Mac Mini, but eventually I had to switch to the Mac Pro entirely. And during that time, I was using webcams, the USB or USB 2 versions, and they're a bit wonky on Mac and Linux because they don't really provide drivers like they do Windows. So then I decided to switch the video entirely, which I'm using camcorders now, HDMI into capture cards. And the videos are real nice because they're stable. They don't change or stutter, at least up until the going into the computer anyway.
Yeah, right. I see that your video quality there is really good. What kind of camcorders are you using?
I'm using the Sony ones. I've got actually two different kinds. One's, I think, I think it's a Sony... I think it's a 550, V550. Actually, it's nice because it's got a widescreen lens. Because right. Most camcorders are like always for zoom. So before I had to use like a widescreen lens on it. So I got that one instead. I actually traded it out. And that's the main camera. And then for close-ins, I just use the, I think it's a Sony CX110. And I'll switch it for the guys that are watching it live video for close-ins. And then usually two cameras are more than enough. It's just a small space. And of course, lighting is real important, so I end up getting it's not studio lighting. It's called the Cowboy Lighting Set. It's I think it's like $80, but it's not bad quality for inside the room.
I'm just glad that there's still people that are not in this to make money, yet are still willing to invest the type of money that I'm sure you have to get that equipment and get to this point where you can have really good quality. Because you don't see that very often unless the person's really trying to do it for money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you know, if I happen to make a little bit of money off of it, I know I'm not going to get, you know, the amount I put into it. Of course, I can use this for other things. I don't have to use it for broadcasting, you know. I can make home movies and, you know, and things like that. So it's not like, you know, I'm not getting my money out of it or anything like that. But
right, right.
All right, cool. All right, Steve, next question, mate. What sort of, have you been on any other shows besides this one?
A few other ones. I'm trying to think. The Tech Buzz, I was on there once. And then the Ron Knight Show. And, oh, geez, my mind's a blank now. Might have been on one other show. I just can't remember what it is. Tech Webcast. There we go.
There we go. Yep. yeah. What about having guests on your show? Have you had many guests on your show?
I think it's well, some shows, you know, they have guests like every week. For me, I didn't want to depend too much on guests because I wanted to, you know, when you focus just on the guests on every show, that kind of takes away from the viewers. And I've had a few, you know, viewers come in and say, you know, hey, it's great that the broadcaster actually, you know, talks to you. So I do like to have new and different things. So I do try to get maybe a couple of guests a month if possible. Yeah, I don't know. I like to do my own thing. I don't want to depend on guests, you know, too much. But sure. I do like different guests from different, you know, walks of life.
Who would you want on your show in the future?
Oh, geez, that's hard to decide. Now, there's a few guests that I've been trying to get. One is Bob. Hopefully, I say his name right. Bob Heil. Heil, I think that's his name.
Bob Heil actually makes microphones.
He makes the Heil. He's big in the microphone industry.
Oh yeah, Bob Heil from Heil Sound.
That's it.
Yeah, from Heil Sound. And actually, he returned my email. But I think you know, I didn't really push the issue. You know, I figure he made a reply. He said initially he was kind of interested. But I like, you know, audio and, you know, audio equipment. So I figured it'd be interesting to get him on here. And of course, he has a background with working with some fairly well-known bands when they first started out. So,
yeah, yeah, you know, they still use their microphones are used by, I think he just recently said it was like 60 or 70 really well-known artists that you wouldn't even think would be using these very, very less expensive microphones compared to the $1,000 ones that you see in a lot of recording studios. He was just on, I don't remember, I think it was Twit or one of these shows I was watching the other day, and he was on talking about it, how that company is just huge now. In the past just 3 or 4 years, they've blown up a lot.
Wow. That's crazy.
I still need to get myself some Heil mics.
I love Heil. They're great. I wish they could sponsor this podcast.
Hey, Bob Heil, if you're listening, send us some free microphones.
Yeah, come on, Bob.
Yeah.
Come on, Bob. We'll run you some ads, mate, for free. So what else, Steve, do you get up to? You make video, YouTube videos, you put RAM in computers and that sort of good stuff. Do you enjoy doing that sort of thing?
No, well, my next favorite thing that I really like doing is, of course, my show is the main focus, obviously, because I don't want to take away from that, is try to get some of my broadcasts on YouTube. And I'm really liking it. It's just kind of fun, you know, when you're done with the broadcast, you know, upload it to YouTube. Before, it was kind of hard to do it because most of the stuff I seem to work in is in Flash, unless I record it to the hard drive, then upload it. But then that takes a lot of bandwidth. But actually, Justin TV has kind of a neat feature where they can, after you save it as a highlight, because everything's obviously automatically recorded. And once you save it as a highlight, you can automatically upload it to YouTube, and it does it all for you. And that way, you save time and bandwidth. But now it seems to be broken, so I got to do it manually, which is fine with me.
Good stuff, mate. How many subscribers do you have on YouTube? And
oh, what was that again?
How many subscribers do you have on YouTube?
Not a whole lot right now because I haven't been doing it that long. Initially, I did have my YouTube channel's probably been up for a little bit over a year, but I haven't. It's mainly to respond to other people's videos.
Right.
And so now once I started doing it seriously, putting more of my shows on there, you know, I think right now I've got maybe 74 viewers. So
good stuff. Now, Chatterbox, where did that name come from? How did you come up with that name? Is that just a random name you come up with? Or?
Well, I didn't really want when it came from Blog TV and, you know, I finalized my show on Justin TV, I didn't want to, you know, focus everything just on tech itself because there's so many things I'm interested in. I figured I have like one show dedicated just to technology. So I didn't want to really focus on one name where it'd be, you know, tech-oriented, so I wanted to choose something that would describe best what I do, which is talk. So I figure, you know, Chatterbox, that'd be the easiest name to describe what I do the most, is talk, I guess.
Good stuff.
Third Line talk show.
Good stuff. So do you actually do episodes, or you just do, just you plan your show before you do it and stuff and that sort of thing? How do you plan your show each week?
Don't really make episodes. I know some shows do that. It just kind of revolves around the topic. Usually the biggest show is going to be on Wednesday, which I do plan for normally. Okay. And then it's just I guess the episode revolves around the topics.
Cool. All right. And what sort of phone? You got an iPhone 4. You're a fan of Apple. I take it. And that sort of good stuff.
Well, you know.
Are you an Apple fanboy? That's the question.
Oh, what's that?
Are you an Apple fanboy?
Let me see. I'm an Apple fanboy and a Linux fanboy, so all rolled up into one. Well, so, I don't know. I'm the nice, you know. I'm not here to put down Windows. Sucks. No, I mean, you know. I know Dylan's back there listening to me, so.
No, I love Apple. I love Windows 7. I love everything Windows. I'm not an Apple. I love Apple, but, you know, they just...
Just because I use Windows doesn't mean I like Windows. Also, I have to add here, I love how every person I've ever talked to that says they got hardcore into Linux now uses a Mac. It's not just you. It's I'm tired. I can't remember. The dude from the OS GUI Tech Show, and there's a bunch of them. What is with Linux people switching to Mac?
Yeah, I've heard that too. Tim's doing exactly the same thing. What is up with him? Like... He's moved from Linux and he's onto something else, and I don't know. It's weird.
Well, I think what it is, you know, I come to realize, see, I've been using Linux a long time. It's going on 16 years next month, and I realize, you know, I think it's mainly with third-party apps, because since Linux has a small market share, we simply don't have, you know, hardware manufacturers, software manufacturers, you know, releasing software for that. So I know I do realize there's some shortcomings with Linux as far as, well, for me, broadcasting. I mean, I do have some software that I can use, but it doesn't work as good as, you know, obviously Windows or Linux, because there's simply not software developed for it. At least with Mac, it's still Unix-based, so it's something I'm familiar with, at least under the hood, along those lines.
Right, right. Okay, so do you use Twitter at all, Steve?
You said Twitter, right?
Yeah, you use Twitter?
I have to say that's like my most favorite, you know, as far as social networking. I mean, you know, there's Facebook, and I don't know, I never really understood Facebook. Until maybe now. Twitter's, I don't know, just seem more natural, because you can, you know, you can only tweet out a small amount, and, you know, you could, you have your friends and, you know, collaborate with other people on the internet, and I took to Twitter pretty quickly once I, you know, started using it.
All right.
You know, that's funny. I've never heard anyone say that they got used to Twitter, got onto Twitter pretty quickly, but didn't understand Facebook. It's always been the other way around. Is I get, you know, people like even my parents and grandparents both, they use Facebook. They're fine with Facebook, got used to it really quickly, still don't understand Twitter, don't know what it's about or what it is at all, and just don't understand it.
I don't know. I think I don't know if MySpace has been out a little bit longer than Facebook, but now I do have a MySpace page. And, of course, that's kind of fell out of favor due to many reasons. And then now Facebook's the biggest thing right now. Perhaps maybe that's why. Because it's not like you can go to a MySpace page and it shows everything there. Where if you go to Facebook, unless they friend you, you can't really, you know, get certain bits of information, you know, unless you friend them or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
if – well, do you use Facebook now? Do you have a Facebook account?
Yeah, I have a Facebook account now, which I mainly use for the show. But now I'm kind of seeing how Facebook works. Maybe I'm seeing a little bit now the reason why it was there. I think initially it was for college use, and then obviously expanded pretty much everybody.
I guess my recommendation to you is, if you're still trying to get into Facebook and you haven't used it a lot, what I mainly use it for, what I use more than my personal page, is my fan page. I, as much as I promote my Twitter, I promote my Facebook fan page, and it's just another place for me to let people know that, hey, new video's up, new content's out, here's when I'm going to be live, stuff like that. They don't have to friend me, I don't have to accept it or know anything about them. They can just click like and get my updates.
For sure, I agree. Great for publishing stuff and podcast. So what else, Steve, are you up to, mate, and you, besides doing this?
Broadcasting. You talking about outside the
show?
Yeah,
outside the show. Like, what do you work? Sort of like, you know, do you fix computers and stuff for a living, or that sort of stuff, or what?
Not yet. Computers has really just been a hobby. Initially, I started years ago. I did a correspondence course when I was in the military, because 6 months deployment on a ship, there ain't much to do in your off time. So. Liked it so much that, you know, it really expanded since then. I've done some, side jobs for some computer shops. I think one was in the a flea market, and the other one was here where I live. It was in the Ingleside.
Okay, cool. Good stuff. So what do you want to get out of this Chatterbox you're doing live, two live shows a week? Are you looking for any sponsors or any like that, or any guests or anything like that? How can people contact you?
Let me see. I'm trying to think now. Of course, you'll find me on Justin TV / Linux Cool Dude. That's my main my show page. You can also find me on Twitter, which is Linux Cool Dude as well. I think initially for the show, it's not just for me. It's really a place to share information, you know, because I learn just as much off the viewers. I admit I don't know everything, or not even close. So, I've got different experts out in the chat room. Some are, you know, IT professionals, different areas, video, making videos and stuff like that. So to me, it's more of a sharing information show than anything.
All right. Good stuff, mate. All right. Dylan, any last words before we go, mate?
No.
Dylan, any questions or anything like that? Do you want to mention anything before we go? Do you want to plug any podcasts or websites or Twitter? Or...
Oh, you're talking about me?
No, I'm Dylan.
No. Well, let's see. YouTube.com/WindowsGuru84, Dylan.combs.tv, and Twitter.com/DylanCombsTV. Find me in all those places and subscribe to me on YouTube, because that's... For now, my main thing is trying to push out as many YouTube videos as possible. So, find me there.
And you're actually doing questions the other day. I've seen one of your videos. Good job, by the way.
I did. I woke up and I was like, I really want to post a video today, but I have no idea what to do. So I'm just going to do a questions video. So I just asked for questions and then did like a 15-minute video answering them.
Good stuff. All right. And Steve, where can they find you, mate, on the internet? On Twitter, Linux Cool Dude? Same as YouTube?
Yeah, of course, my Twitter is Linux Cool Dude, so search. That's my main show name there. And then, of course, Justin TV, www.justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude, my main show. And, of course, my YouTube page, which is, I think it's Linux Cool Dude as well, yeah.
Good stuff, mate. And by the way, what is that thing behind you in the background there? Is that some sort of robot?
This right here?
Near the TV. Is that some sort of amp? Oh. A mic compressor or something?
Oh, that's, Well, that's when I used to play bass on a regular basis. I'm running the mic through a compressor.
Oh, sick. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And also, you can also find me on Twitter, Brad Oz, Tech Luster and Tech Webcast, and also on Facebook. Steve, any last words before we go, mate? Have we missed any questions that we've missed out to ask you?
Not that I know, but, it was a lot of fun, though.
It was good, mate. 30 minutes. That's the longest podcast I've done. Actually, no, 40, sorry.
Oh, really?
Yep. And,
I could talk forever.
What's that?
I could talk forever. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to keep it to a limit because, it takes ages to upload and stuff. And I use Podomatic and quick plug for them. They've been great. And that's about it. Thanks, Dylan, for being on, mate.
Yep. See you next week.
See you next week. We're going to have some guy from Ditto from the iPhone up. And Steve, you're more than welcome to come back anytime, mate.
I appreciate it.
If you want to be a guest on Talk Some Tech News and stuff and that sort of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, Dylan, guess what?
What?
You lost the game.
Oh.
This is Tech Web. Tau.
Computers.
Technology.
Gadgets.
And other geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop on.